John chapter 18, verses 33 to 37. Hear the word of the Lord. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is truth. It is our bedrock. It is our foundation. And we pray, Lord, that you would encourage your people with that thought as we place ourselves under your word. Lord, help us to understand. Give us wisdom. Give us the ability, the will to do, to obey. Grow us in Christ's likeness. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Called an audible this week in light of Tuesday's elections. And I want to say up front, this is not a partisan sermon. That's not my intent. I do have very strong political opinions, but I also try to take great care to avoid sharing my political opinions from the pulpit, because the church is a spiritual institution. But this week, I think more than any other time in my years of service here at Trinity, I have heard more feedback from what happened on Tuesday. And it has been along the lines of shock and dismay and words like grievous and devastated and kicked in the gut have been kind of the tone. One person said you could erect a tombstone and say the United States of America, born 1776, died 2012. And questions like, is this the end? Have we crossed the threshold? And I'll say up front, I just don't know. Maybe we have. From a historical perspective, I doubt it. I look back at the history of this country and I see that it has made some great comebacks from some really tough and down times. I also look back at the history of this country and I think every generation without exception has asked, is this the end of the American experiment? And it continues to go on. Civil War, World Wars, 60s free love, you know, we could go on. And history shows us so far that politics is cyclical in nature. There are ups and downs for both sides. There will be losing seasons for both sides. But from a historical context and perspective, I doubt we've quite crossed the threshold. That's just my opinion, and many people have asked, so I'll throw that out there. But what I'm much more concerned about than a historical perspective is a biblical perspective. And that's what I want to try to give us this morning as we look at this passage here in John chapter 18, a biblical perspective on politics. Hear me up front. I fully affirm that as Christian citizens, we exercise important responsibilities in the political process. We should be deeply concerned about the moral issues that are at stake in our society. But again, keeping things in context, our culture has been morally debauched since before I was born. If you're my age or even 10 or 20 years older, that's all you've known is moral debauchery in this culture. And it's only gotten worse. Our country is in the midst of a moral catastrophe. We have a radically pro-abortion administration, same-sex marriage now legal in multiple states, rampant indecency, vulgarity, infidelity, lack of respect, self-indulgent materialism, foreign wars, terrorist plots, immigration debates, healthcare abyss, crippling national debt, faltering economy. There is a great challenge that is far bigger than politics. But whether you're on the left or whether you're on the right, I think when it comes to politics and looking at these issues, we're prone to two extremes. And one extreme is this, that politics is nothing. I had a good friend a couple months back tell me that he just wasn't going to watch any of the presidential debates. And he said, why should I spend hours of my time listening to two men on both sides lie? It's just a waste of time. Well, that's a one extreme attitude. I think it goes too far. The idea that elections don't matter, politics don't matter, and I'm just not going to vote. 12 million Americans less voted in this election than in the 2008 election. And I think as the inner workings of that number come out, we'll see that probably a large degree of that was motivated by this idea that politics just don't matter. I'm giving up on the whole process. I'm not going to participate. There were fewer Mormons who voted for Romney than voted for McCain. Or you could go even a little more extreme and just turn to monasticism. Go build yourself a compound and go dark and fly under the radar. That's one extreme, that politics do not matter. And I'm not going to participate. There's another extreme, and that is that politics are everything. Politics are everything. And my guess, based on feedback this week, and I'm preaching to myself too, we may tend too much toward that side. If you have been despondent this week, depressed, can't eat, if as of yesterday you were still walking around in a stupor, let me suggest that you may be tilting too far toward this idea that politics is everything. If you listen to news talk and radio and the internet every day, all day, and even after it's over, you find yourself wanting to turn away, but you can't. Let me suggest to you that over time, and I'm all for those things, I am. I'm in it up to my eyeballs. Let me confess up front. But if you spend hours and hours absorbing that media every day, all day, day after day, week after week, it will have the cumulative effect of skewing your perspective, and you run the risk of investing more than you should into the political process. So I would commend to you to turn it off for a period. Several people have mentioned to me that they're doing that this week. We're doing that. Just a fast from the media. Because it does skew your perspective. And we need to be so careful that we never slip into the idea that political and social activism is the primary purpose of Christianity. We need to be so careful that we never slip into the misunderstanding that political and social activism is the primary purpose of Christianity. Pinning all of our hopes, pinning all of our energy, pinning all of our efforts, becoming obsessed with temporal issues at the expense of spiritual and eternal issues. Because what you end up with there is basically just a conservative version of the old liberal social gospel. That's a conservative version of the liberal social gospel when you emphasize social and political concerns above spiritual concerns. And so what I'm advocating here, biblically, from a Christian perspective, it is some balance. Yes, this world is full of sin. Yes, our culture is full of sin. But what do we expect? We are citizens of heaven, and we're resident aliens in a foreign culture that the Lord says hated him and is going to hate us too. And if we put all of our time, all of our energy, all of our money, all of our efforts, all of our resources, all of our hopes, trying to force an ungodly culture to adopt biblical standards of morality, at best, we're going to create a bunch of Pharisees who are superficially changed on the outside, but don't know Christ from a goat on the inside. There is a balance, and I hope this will encourage you just to think about this in this way. And I think the balance is struck about like this. Yes, we have political responsibilities, but political action is a means. It's not an end. Political action is a tool. It's not the be-all, end-all of who we are. We ought to vote. We ought to support legitimate causes. We ought to work to improve society. We ought to invest ourselves in correcting wrong. We owe those things to our children. We owe those things to our veterans. We owe those things to those who have paid the ultimate price that we might live with such liberties. We owe that as an expression of gratitude for all the things that we enjoy and the freedoms that we enjoy. As Christians, we ought to be the best citizens. We ought to be the best patriots. We ought to honor our leaders. We ought to pray for our leaders. We ought to do all those things. We ought to work for the highest ideals of Christian morality. But let's keep the balanced perspective that we do not seek salvation through the voting booth. And we do not look for a political Messiah. That's not who we are as Christians. The power to bring righteousness to this country does not reside in any public office. The power to bring righteousness to this country does not belong to any political party. God is much, much bigger than that. And our concern is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be reminded of. That's what we need as a bigger perspective when we're considering political action. The kingdom just does not grow by the government. The kingdom does not grow by political power. The kingdom does not grow by any one person. That's why Psalm 146:3 says, "Put not your trust in princes and a son of man in whom there is no salvation." Government has its place, politics has its place, but human authority is not ultimately decisive when it comes to our salvation, when it comes to our sanctification, when it comes to our Christian testimony, and when it comes to the advancement of God's kingdom. Those are things that are bigger than the political realm. Those are things that are outside of the political realm. And as one very wise person told me this week, thank God I'm not dependent on the government for my salvation. And that is very true. So there's a balance between politics is nothing and politics is everything. And I think the person who lived that out most perfectly, that balance, who struck that right balance, that right perspective, was Jesus Christ himself. You see that in the life of Christ. He maintained that balance perfectly. You think about it. Jesus lived in a society that was every bit as pagan as ours, and much worse in so many ways. Cruel dictators, godless tyrants, oppression. I mean, Herod commanded all males under the age of 2 to be murdered just by fiat. A social system built on slavery, economic oppression, legal oppression, excruciating taxes in the Roman world. no concept of civil rights for anybody that wasn't a Roman citizen. And we could go on and on. That was the atmosphere into which Jesus engaged in his earthly ministry. And so it's no wonder that when he came to earth, most of his followers, even of the apostles, expected that he was going to deliver them from Rome's oppressive rule. But what we find in the scriptures over and over is that he didn't come as a political deliverer. He didn't come as a social reformer. The calling of Jesus, his highest priority, was to proclaim the good news of eternal life and the truth of God's word into a dark and dying and already judged and deserving of judgment world. That's what he's doing. And that message of the words of life, the good news of eternal life, surpasses any political agenda, any social agenda, any economic agenda. Anything that could preoccupy us and divert our primary focus on eternity. Jesus was focused on that mission, and he came to establish a new kingdom, but not a political kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. Look at verse 36 in our passage. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from the world." See, Jesus' kingdom is a body of believers throughout all ages of history that constitute his church. And that's much bigger than any political party or social agenda. That's much bigger than any government. That's much bigger than any earthly kingdom. This is an eternal kingdom that expands all space and time, and it is built by the power of the Holy Spirit through the proclamation of his word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ says, "This is my kingdom." See, he didn't just come to make old creation moral. That's a really short-sighted kind of view of things. If your primary goal is just to make old creation moral, put a veneer, put a facade through governmental reform, what Jesus came to do was to make men and women new through the saving power of the gospel. Verse 37. Pilate said to him, "So you are a king. You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth." You know, being in this world is not easy for Christians. It's not supposed to be easy. We're never told it was going to be easy. God never intended for us to be at ease in our culture. Jesus said the world hated him, the world's going to hate us too. But I can assure you this morning, this world is not going to break us. We're going to keep on doing what we've been called to do. We're going to keep on proclaiming the gospel of life. In fact, if anything, I would say this week ought to motivate us to do it all the more, because it's a reminder that God has placed us in a culture that needs it. They don't need moral reform as much as they need the gospel. They need inward transformation. So we're going to keep on doing what we're doing. This is a mission field. Are we going to vote? Absolutely. Are we going to count down to the next election cycle? Most of us probably will. But more than that, how about we go proclaim God's truth, share God's gospel, pray, live a godly life, raise godly children, encourage one another in Christian fellowship. And when we make these things our primary focus, and what I'm talking about here is priorities. What's your primary focus? What are you living for? What are you devoting the bulk of who you are and your resources to? When we devote it to these things, we'll see the transforming message of the gospel on lost and perishing people. That was Christ's priority. That was Christ's priority when he was hauled before Pilate right before his crucifixion. And he said, "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Let me tell you this morning, the government cannot save us. Just keep that perspective. The government cannot save us. Imagine the most ideal utopian government you can imagine. And I will tell you, it cannot advance God's kingdom. And the flip side of that is, even the worst government you can possibly imagine cannot stop the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's word. It can't stop it. The kingdom has come. The kingdom has come with Christ, and it is coming. And it can't be stopped by any party. It can't be stopped by any president. And the encouraging thing is, we have the real and the only means to bring about genuine change and lasting change, and that is the spiritual power of God's word. "I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. For this purpose I was born." Only the gospel is going to save sinners from sin. Only the gospel is going to save individuals from death and hell. And there is a world, there is a culture, and it's all around us. And we need to love them, and we need to pray for them, and we need to share the truth of the gospel with them, and we need to disciple them. And that's what we're doing. That's who we are. That's what we're about. And Christ says the gates of hell will not stand against that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we do pray that you would encourage us as your people. Order our priorities, Lord, we ask. Give us a perspective of biblical wisdom. Help us to see the bigger picture of history, the workings of your sovereign hand. Lord, encourage us in our earthly battles, but preserve us all the more, Lord, through the truth of your word, the power of your spirit, the encouragement of Christ. And Lord, may our primary purpose in this world be to bear witness to the truth. We thank you for the truth, and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.